The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. Plenty to get through today. Gab Marcotti will be here to talk Italian football. Ali and Jules reflecting on another win for Real Madrid. Shaka Hislop is here in the studio with us. But we'll kick things off in the Premier League. Manchester United up to third in the table after a 6-2 victory over Leeds Old Trafford. Meanwhile, Spurs down to fifth as they were beaten at home against Leicester City, who move up to second. Well, Stevie Nicol and Frank LaBeouf join us now to reflect on today's games. Stevie, were you wrong about Solskjaer?
Listen, if we're going to judge Solskjaer on playing Leeds United every week, then I guess we're going to be talking and saying nice things. So, listen, at home, beating Leeds at home doesn't take away that you've been struggling big time at home. You know, the way that Leeds set out anyway, you can't really gauge teams generally on what happens against Leeds United because they're not normal. This is not a normal game. Today wasn't a normal game. I mean, 6-2, could have been 10-5. I mean, just, they're not normal. So you can't really judge United at home against Leeds United. However, if you score 6 goals, you deserve a pat on the back because you're obviously creating and finishing. So from that point of view, yes. But I'm not quite ready to say United or anything particularly yet off the back of a home win against Leeds United.
Obviously, as Stevie said, Frank, today isn't normal because of the way Leeds United play. However, overall, this is a Manchester United side who are third in the table. They win their game in hand. They're just 2 points off Liverpool at the top. Were you wrong about Ollie, Frank?
No, I think I want to congratulate him for picking the right players, especially this one, McTominay, instead of maybe Pogba. He knew that he had to be strong in the middle of the park, you know, to get the ball back and to go quickly in counter-attack, and it's what just happened on that second goal. And they did well, and nothing to complain about, and they were serious. It could have been worse if Martial would have been a little bit more accurate. But nothing to say about Manchester United. They didn't sort out their defensive problem. But what about Leeds? I mean, it was open door today. I mean, every action that Manchester United had, every chance that they had, could have been a goal. It's a catastrophe, you know, and showed the limit of Marcelo Bielsa's system, where you can't go in offensive total football if you don't have a defensive total football as well. It goes two ways around, and it's not the case for Liverpool, and it was a massacre against the Leeds United players.
Third time lucky. Shaka, were you wrong about Ollie?
On this evidence, yes. And evidence that we've seen from Manchester United over recent weeks, yes. I understand the points being made. Leeds are a team that play on the front foot. That attack, that go to hurt you almost at the expense of what happens at the back. You only have to look at what happened between them and Liverpool earlier this season. So the 2 goals conceded doesn't worry me that much. The way they created opportunities for me is something that I didn't see from Manchester United, not with this kind of consistency, against a team who you can get at. But I thought United were simply outstanding.
There's a lot of love for Bielsa, isn't there, Stevie, in the footballing world? How naive was his team set up today?
Well, you could probably say that every week. You know, the truth of the matter is the guy is all about attacking football, and that's why he's so lauded and so loved with his peers particularly. Because we all want to go and play attacking open football. But then there's a professional aspect that means that, well, you have to take care of the defensive side somewhat. And he doesn't do somewhat. He doesn't do anything. So, yes, I understand it's all about open attacking football. That's what you want to do as a kid. That's why you play the game. You want to score goals. And if you can't score, you want to make goals. But I tell you what, if you don't have a defence and you're a defender in a team that leaves you on your own, it ain't any fun, I can assure you. So, yeah, good going forward. But defensively, Bielsa's just, he's not there, is he?
Well, preceding that game, it was Spurs against Leicester. Leicester with the win. Vardy with a penalty in the first half late on. And then Alderweireld's own goal in the second half would give Leicester all at 3 points. Do you want to hear what Jose Mourinho had to say after the game? Well, this is what the Spurs coach said about the result. The result looks the opponent was in control, which is not true. It wasn't a game they deserved to win or a game we deserved to lose. Stevie, is he right?
For the second week in a row, I have no idea what this guy's talking about. I mean, they offered nothing going forward. Yes, you could turn around and say, well, one's apparently an own goal. But the truth is, had Leicester been at their best going forward, particularly in the second half with the amount of breaks they had, it was kind of Spurs-like, to be honest, then there would have been even more goals. But at no stage were Tottenham in control in this game. No stage whatsoever. They never did anything. For 30 minutes, they were pretty much pinned in their own half in the first half. So, yeah, I don't understand what he's talking about. One team deserved to win. And the team that deserved to win was the best team, and that was Leicester.
Frank, what's happened to Spurs?
Well, nothing much. I mean, we all said, you know, that and we predicted that kind of scenario where one day they will play a team who won't go forward like crazy and play Spurs in counter-attack. And that's the thing about football. We just talked about Leeds. We only think about playing offensively, where it seems to be that the only option for Spurs is to play defensively and play in counter-attack. But when you face a team like Leicester, who smartly played the way Spurs don't want their opponent to play, Spurs are going to lose because they don't have another option. They don't know how to reinvent themselves, and they have only one system, is how to defend well and counter-attack. And I feel sad for some players, you know. Kane, Son again, you know. Well, I know the talent of those players, but they have only one option too. And when they have the possession of the ball, we don't know anything much happening. And it's what happened today. I think Leicester deserved to win, and Jose can say anything he wants, you know. He hasn't got another option, and that's the main problem.
These two results prove to us why Spurs are not title contenders, Shane.
Well, you see, you know exactly what you're going to get from Spurs, and more to the point right now is what you're going to get out of Jose Mourinho at the end of the game. He judges games, or it seems that he judges games, by whose goalkeeper made more saves. So as far as Spurs are concerned, we don't want the ball, you can have it, we'll defend, we'll make sure Hugo Lloris doesn't have an awful lot to do, we hope that we can get a chance at the other end from a set piece, and that's how we'll judge the game, or we'll try to sell it at the end. Spoke about the Harry Kane miss header against Liverpool, the Harry Kane miss header against Leicester just before Leicester opened the scoring. But even then, in a game where you want to arrest the slide, you've just lost one, you're at home to Leicester City. In the second half, you find yourself behind, and we can talk about the penalty, but you find yourself behind. Spurs have twice as much possession as Leicester in the second half, yet Leicester have twice as many shots on target. That speaks about your own lack of creativity, and when you need to find a goal, how you struggle for ideas. And in the end, even with the added possession, at no point in that second 45 did I think that Leicester were the team that were struggling here, struggled to come to terms with the game, or Leicester were the less likely to score. And keep in mind that Maddison had a goal ruled out, rightly so for offside, but raised the thin margins. Leicester, even then, without the ball, which is kind of to their strength, were better in the first half. When they had the ball, they were better. So now you're asking Spurs, or Jose Mourinho to this point, why do you feel that you deserved any more than you got?
Let's just get the table back up, shall we? As I mentioned, United up to third, Spurs down to fifth. Just 1 point separates them. United do have that game in hand. Stevie, who finishes higher, United or Spurs?
Ooh. Well, he asked me, I think he asked me this about 5 weeks ago. 5 weeks ago when I said Spurs. I'm going to say United, and I'm going to change and say United because United look like they can score some goals. Watching Spurs, other than playing at 100 mile on the break and defending at the edge of the box, you can't keep doing that time after time. You've got to be able to go and play and beat sides mid-table and below comfortably if you're going to contend. So I'm going to say Man United slightly edge it.
Through gritted teeth.
They've still got to convince us they can win at home. Let's be honest. Beat Leeds United at home doesn't take away all the other woes.
Frank?
Well, you know I don't like to do predictions before the Boxing Day is
behind. Oh, goodness, don't start this nonsense again, Frank.
Okay. Don't jump on me. Let me finish my sentence, you know. I think I would go for Manchester United because I think, again, they seem to have other options because they seem to have players who can play forward and can score goals. And then in fact, that you don't have a coach who just want to put his hand on the team and the squad the way they have to play. Tottenham, they have to play Mourinho's system. And Mourinho's system is to defend. And we saw today that it's very hard for Tottenham when they are one goal behind to go back to and try to equalize because they don't know what to do. And that's the main problem. It's why I give more chance to Manchester United.
Wow, what a difference a week makes. I bet if I asked you all of this last week, it would be Spurs.
Yeah, no question.
And have you changed your mind as well?
I have. A couple of things happened this week. And listen, I spoke about it earlier in the week. Manchester United still against who has been the traditional top six, including Arsenal and City, despite their struggles, or last season's top eight finishers. They've only played four of the big boys. Chelsea, Arsenal, Spurs, City. Only two draws. Haven't gotten the better of anybody in that top eight just yet. But given the way that City had to adjust to play against United, I thought that almost played into Manchester United's own psychology going forward against the big boys. And then the question became, is it more likely that United's away form got worse, in which case you'd see them slide down the table, or their home form got better? And on today's showing, again, albeit against a Leeds team that allows you to play, I think it's more likely that their home form picks up, which makes them genuine contenders. Right now, the only team playing better football than Manchester United is Liverpool.
Thanks, Jack. Chelsea in action on Monday. Frank Lampard's side taking on his old team, West Ham. They're big favourites going into it. Chelsea 9-4 on to take all 3 points. We'll, of course, be discussing that and reflecting on the other matches that we saw this weekend and maybe even look ahead to some of the midweek ties as well on the next edition of the show.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Real Madrid's fine form continued on Sunday with a 3-1 victory away against Eibar. Once again, Karim Benzema, the star of the show, an assist and a goal. Although he should have got another goal as well, with a chance that Shaq has said that he could have scored. It was that easy, apparently. What that means, Real Madrid then level on points now with Atleti at the top of the table. Atleti, though, do have 2 games in hand. Well, for more on that win for Madrid, let's welcome in Julien Laurent and Ali Moreno. Ali, we haven't said this very often in La Liga this season, but that was a great game, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And it would have been a far more comfortable game for Real Madrid had Karim Benzema scored the goal that Xhaka claims he would have scored himself. It was indeed from my kind of range. And it was a beautiful build-up play for Real Madrid that created that opportunity. The first 15, 20 minutes of Real Madrid were absolutely perfect. Being able to play through the midfield, even in the tight confines of Ipurua, where Eibar plays their home games. And yes, it is a tight field. Yes, it's smaller than most. But if you're able to play through the midfield with the quality of play of Modric and then, of course, Toni Kroos, and then you expose some of the deficiencies that Eibar has in the back because of the movement with and without the ball with Karim Benzema, then you saw the very best of Real Madrid for those first 20 minutes. But it is indeed Real Madrid that gets in trouble by trying to play out of the back. They turn the ball over, a beautiful goal by Kike, and from then on, it was a back-and-forth game where Real Madrid had some chances, where Eibar had some chances. It made it for an entertaining matchup, I think far more entertaining than Zidane would have wanted. As for Real Madrid, I think big picture what you take from this is it's 3 points, we're playing better, confidence is building, and so much for the pressure on Zidane. Ever since we started talking about pressure on Zidane, all this team, all they have done is just win game after game after game. And Karim Benzema continues to be a difference maker.
And Jules, we mentioned this before, it's with the same personnel, really, that were letting him down badly before.
That's right. And as we said before, it's hard to explain why sometimes they didn't really play with the intensity that we saw in the first 20 minutes today, for example, or that we saw in the last three games, whether that was in the derby, for example, or even in midweek or against Sevilla, for example, and so that kind of control. And sometimes you see that control slipping a bit. And we saw that tonight where they were suddenly under pressure on the back foot. But when they are under control, when Modric and Kroos are playing like that, when Casemiro is on top of things, and then when Karim Benzema is in that kind of form. I mean, this is Karim Benzema's kingdom. This is his, you know, this is, I've said it many times, but when he's in that kind of form, he's exceptional, he's unstoppable. And that goal that was, I think it was slightly offside, but that was an incredible finish from the first touch to the outside of the right foot finish was incredible. And it shows again, when they're playing on that kind of tune all together, they're very hard to beat. However, as Ali said, there's another side to them when they try to play from the back, taking risk, when maybe the aggressivity from the opposition gets to them, then they'll be under pressure.
Who wins that Liga, Ali? Who's the Moreno money on?
Oh, there's plenty of Moreno money to go around, apparently.
Wow.
I'll take all that Moreno money and put it on Real Madrid.
Wow.
That's a team I trust.
Wow, Ali. Why'd you change your mind? After the derby?
After the derby. Absolutely. When I saw the attitude or lack thereof from Atletico Madrid and I saw the edge in confidence and presence and experience in winning that Real Madrid showed, I think long-term Real Madrid is a better bet than Atletico Madrid.
Jules?
I have to agree with Ali. I mean, I still think it would be really tight and you know, of course, Atletico can still go and win it. But I think Real Madrid have shown in the last, 2 weeks now, what they're really made of and when they mean business, how they can play. And I think before maybe they were just not taking things for granted, but maybe not as switched on as they should have been in certain games, like against Cadiz, for example. This is, you know, or even at Valencia, surely they should have done better than that. And I think now they mean business, they will have a bit of a break now. And then we will see in 2021 that if they keep playing like this, I think they will be very hard to stop.
Xhaka?
I'm going to Atletico Madrid.
Well, that's it, done.
No, I understand the point. Atletico was simply awful against Real Madrid. But you see them go to a back four, which Simeone is more comfortable with. And I really like the look of João Felix and Lemar, either side of whoever plays up front, whether it's Suarez or Costa. I think you continue getting that kind of performances out wide. I think Atleti continue to beat everybody else in the league. Maybe they struggle against Real, but I'm more confident with Atleti beating everybody else than Real, given their inconsistencies.
Thank you very much, Xhaka. For more on Real Madrid's victory away against Eibar, be sure to check out Alex Kirkland's player ratings over on the website. No surprise, Benzema leads with 9 out of 10. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
As you were, the top three in Italy. Of course, Juventus winning on Saturday, on Sunday. Milan and Inter both winning by 2-1. Drop points, though, for Roma. They lost 4-1 against Atalanta. Napoli, meanwhile, losing 2-0 to Lazio. Gab Marcotti is with us. Gab, should we start by talking about the league leaders? Without a number of key players, they got the job done and were very impressive today, particularly in that first half.
Yeah, no question about it. It's not just the early goal, and obviously taking the early lead makes it easier to play, but these guys have fully bought into what Stefano Pioli is selling. You know, you're talking about a team that, again, goes out there without arguably their most important midfielder, without you know, a starting defender like Simon Kjær, without Zlatan, the big one, without Ante Rebic. You know, people saying Rafael Leao, can he play up front? You know what? It really doesn't matter if people go and they execute and they press and they're aggressive and they've bought into the system and they have so much energy out there. This is a really young team, and you've got guys who are really, really stepping up. People like Theo Hernandez, who you just mentioned, Rafael Leao. There's obviously more to come from him as well. You know, little by little, the things are falling into place. And, you know, the strategy that Milan put together of saying, you know, let's go and trust youth. Let's go and look for quality youngsters who can grow, take a gamble on some of these guys, which so many people have derided. So many people have said, oh, you can't win without Ibra. What are you doing? Lump the ball to Ibra. Ibra will do it. No, look, there is another way of winning, and they're showing that it works. And when Ibra does come back, he'll be joining a team that's firing in all cylinders.
Three-horse race, Cam, for the title?
I still think it's a four-horse race. I'm including Napoli in that, despite their defeat. Look, on Tuesday, they'll find out about their appeal, about the game that they had to forfeit against Juventus and the 1 point that they were docked. You know, if they decide that you haven't got to go and play that game again, and if they, you know, remove the 1 point docking, then all of a sudden the table looks a little bit different, especially if they go and they beat Juventus, which they may or may not do. But I still think this is a very talented squad, possibly the most talented squad in Serie A alongside Juventus. And I think when Osimhen will be back in the new year, Mertens will be back in the new year. Insigne, of course, just out for the one-game suspension. I think when they have everybody back, things are different. But they're going to have to win their head-to-heads. And, of course, thus far, they lost against both Milan and Inter. But otherwise, no, I think it's a four-horse race.
Thanks, Gab. Meanwhile, in France, the big game, of course, Lille taking on PSG. Oh, what a thriller. 0-0. Just a 4 shots on target from either side. Taking a look at what that means regarding the league. Lille remain top of the table, 1 point clear of PSG. Jules, why was this game so bad?
No, that wasn't bad. I disagree with you. I don't think it was bad.
It
was tactical.
Oh.
It was tactical. It was a bit cagey, but it was very tactical.
When your voice goes that high, I know you're lying.
No, that's not true. Oh, you know me too well. You know me too well. Listen, PSG without Neymar, who was out without Kylian Mbappe on his birthday, he turned 22 today, only came on for the last 15 minutes. I thought the control they showed, even the collective unit that they didn't really have before this season, was very interesting. The way Tuchel set it up, yeah, he was very tactical and it was cagey. And apart from the last 10 minutes, I thought PSG were the better side. They had chances, Moise Kean could have scored, and Di Maria, I thought, showed a lot of energy. And then in the last 10 minutes, Lille went forward and without an incredible tackle from Presnel Kimpembe on the counter attack against Burak Yilmaz, and he was almost on his own against four Lille players. Maybe Lille would have scored a late winner on the counter attack and snatched the win. So I think overall PSG would be disappointed by just a point. Lille would be happy with just a point, and he's very much status quo at the top of Ligue 1 with Lyon winning yesterday. But I didn't think it was bad, sorry.
Frank, did you enjoy it?
You know, I have to say that after maybe the first 15 minutes was quite all right, but it became boring by the fact that the two teams were very compact, and especially Paris Saint-Germain, and without Neymar and Mbappe, maybe they were more compact than usually, and I felt that I was watching two teams, which is not the case. Maybe they are more flamboyant when Neymar and Mbappe are on the field, but they are less compact. And the only action to tell is what Juice referred is the tackle of Kimpembe. It's a masterpiece. I've never seen somebody, especially pulling his hamstring just before and tackling the way he did. I've never seen such a beautiful tackle. He's four against one and he tackles in mass. It's absolutely a beauty if you like tackles. If you like tackles.
Well, who doesn't like a good tackle? I thought I'd say that.
Okay.
Jules, is Tuchel all right? Is there any talk about his job being under threat?
I think there's one more game, obviously, before the winter break. PSG can still finish just the year, technically, as the league leaders, although it's very tight, as we said, between them and Lyon and Lille and Marseille with the game in hands. And we will have to see. I do think that Leonardo and Nasser Al-Khelaifi, the sporting director and the PSG chairman, and also with the owners in Qatar, will have a long, long meeting during the winter break to see what they do with Tuchel, because some things have been positive, of course, and they qualified for the last 16 of the Champions League. It was not easy, but they did it in the end. But in the league, it's not good enough. Four defeats already, as we said tonight, they really could not afford another defeat. Tuchel could not afford another defeat in Lille, especially against a direct opponent for the title. I just think that they might come to the conclusion that he hasn't been good enough, and with only 6 months left on his contract, it's better to get rid of him at the end of December or beginning of January and bring someone new in to finish the season, and then continue his PSG career, then keeping him until the end of the season. They might keep him. I just wonder if that meeting maybe they will have a sense of like, okay, see what he did. There was the tension between him and Leonardo. There was issues with the dressing room as well. The biggest problem, obviously, is the lack of style of football. It's been really poor this season. Even when they've won, it's been really poor. We haven't seen a free-flowing PSG with patterns of play, with movement, with triangles and 1-2s, etc., etc. None of that has happened this season at all. He's been changing formations all the time. Sometimes his choices have been hard to understand. So I think they might well come to the conclusion that he's not good enough anymore.
Thank you very much, Jules. More from Jules, by the way, on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast that drops on Monday. Be sure to check it out.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
One of the most extraordinary games of the weekend had to be in Orlando. The semi-finals of the CONCACAF Champions League. LAFC taking on Club America. The Liga MX side, big favourites going into the tie and would take the lead early on. But the defining moment of this game would happen just before the break. Now, there is no VAR in this competition. LAFC clearly should have had a penalty when Atuesta was brought down. The referee didn't give it. Atuesta then still down, just about to get up. And then Ochoa, the Club America goalkeeper, makes it look like he's been headbutted. He goes down. Atuesta is then sent off. The scuffle then continues at half-time when the Club America coach, Miguel Herrera, pulls the hair of Ante Razov, the LAFC assistant coach. Miguel Herrera sent off. He has to watch the game from the stands. It's just a whole show, really, amongst himself for the second half, being moved all around the stadium. And it would be a defining moment because in the second half with just 10 men, in the opening 3 minutes of the second half, LAFC scored two goals. Carlos Vela with a brace to give the MLS side the lead. They would go on to win 3-1 to set up a final against Tigres on Tuesday. Ali, that was box office stuff, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. You call it box office, I'll call it Cirque de Miguel. That's exactly what this was. It was a circus from Miguel Herrera. And whatever he's involved with usually ends up in some way kind of like this. And if I'm a Club America fan, I sit back and I look at this and I think, okay, how did we lose this game? Because they're up 1-0. They're up a man. Obviously, the Atuesta red card was nonsense, but they're up a man. They're up 1-0. They're up in the game. You would think that at this point you'd be able to control the game. And the reason I put this on Miguel Herrera is because he never allowed his team to settle down and take full advantage of that extra man. It was all about the punching and the yelling and the screaming and holding people's hairs and pulling Ante Razov's hair and this and that and the other and all the dramatic scenes that we saw at halftime, which obviously affected the group because this team was nowhere near ready to play start of the second half. How do we know this? Within 2 minutes, they've given up 2 goals and the kind of goals that they gave up. Cáceres passing the ball out of the back straight to Carlos Vela, and then a straight ball over the top, as good as it was from Segura, a straight ball over the top, and you're a man up, and somehow Carlos Vela's in a 1v1 situation against Ochoa. Within 2 minutes, we're more concerned about Miguel Herrera and where he's sitting and whether he has a walkie-talkie or not, rather than the actual game on the field. And the actual game on the field was 2-1 LAFC at that time. The other thing I would say is, if you come into a match like Miguel Herrera and América did in saying, you know what, LAFC is a strong team, but we are Club America and we have history on our side and we have weight and value of a club. Well, history doesn't play the games. You have to play it out on the field. And while there may be a lot of tradition and history in terms of how good Liga MX has been against MLS teams, on the balance of the game, when you watch these teams play, well, LAFC was right there with Club America. It was very even and at times better than Club America. So my thought process was, you know what? Club America came into this game thinking they were far better. And when things started to turn and when they realized that they weren't far better, that in fact the game was closer than they expected and that now LAFC was carrying the momentum in the game, they then went back to things like Miguel Ochoa getting a Atuesta red card. And you have Miguel Herrera going crazy. And when you have that sort of behavior, it tells you that the team was losing control. And then you see your manager losing control. In the end, it was a deserved result for LAFC. A lot of maturity from LAFC, none of the maturity from América. The team with the history and the team with all the results and the team that was supposed to be the favorites, they behaved like they didn't belong. LAFC did.
LAFC will go into that final as underdogs. Just a reminder, they're looking to do something that no MLS side has done with the CONCACAF Champions League in its current format. Toronto, Montreal and RSL all fell at the final hurdle, being beaten by Mexican sides. LAFC then 41% to go on and win it compared to Tigres 59%. Prediction, Ali?
So much for my good feelings about LAFC and playing against Mexican teams and MLS. This is the opportunity. It looks like it would be Tigres. No chance. I'm taking the MLS team. LAFC goes all the way through and they beat Tigres in the final.
That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who's been on. A lot more action, of course, between now and Christmas. Be sure to stay tuned with us throughout the week. In fact, stay tuned now because Extra Time is next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. I've got to go to the printer to get them, Shaka. I'm back now. Here we go.
You're not very quick, you know, I've noticed.
Sorry?
You're not very fast.
What? I had to walk to the printer and back. What do you want me to
do? How slowly was that? Printer's ready.
I've got my winter boots on.
Oh, that's what it is.
Frank and Stevie are with us as well. Stevie, I just wanted your opinion on something that we were talking about with Frank. Frank was crying over the way in which Depay took the penalty yesterday. Panenka thought it was disrespectful to the goalkeeper. Where do you stand on that?
Why is it disrespectful? It makes no difference what you do, as long as you put the ball in the back of the net. So how you go about it and how it ends up happening makes no difference. Certainly isn't disrespectful to anybody.
Frank, you have the right to reply.
No. I thought, you know, Stevie had some feelings for a human being, but I realized just realized that.
No.
That's what it is.
No.
Okay.
We discussed this on the show, didn't we? Are Manchester United bigger contenders than Spurs, Chelsea and City now that they don't have to focus on the Champions League, Shaq? Does that make a difference?
I think it does in this circumstance, in this
they still
season.
In the Europa League? Yes.
Yeah, but I think I'd be surprised if Solskjaer doesn't make a lot of changes, especially in the earlier rounds.
Is your squad that deep that you can make all those changes?
Well, if they're contending at the top of the table, still in within very close touching distance, I think they can, yeah.
Stevie, blessing in disguise, they're not in the Champions League?
Well, yeah, because I think I'm with Xhaka. He can make lots of changes. So, yeah, I'm with Xhaka. You know, it's far more important to do well in the league. You can't hang your hat on going all out to win the Europa League. Yeah, I'm with Xhaka.
Frank?
Always follow the goalie.
Good idea.
I'm not because I think my two colleagues today have no respect for the Europa League. I think it's very demanding as well. it's all about respect today. It's almost Christmas, I want respect, you know? That's what it is. No, but really, I mean, the Europa League is demanding as well. I mean, you face good teams as well, and you have to travel, you have to run for 90 minutes. It's not a plus. They would have been out of the competition, of any European competition, it would have been a plus for the EPL, but otherwise no, they are concerned in midweek, so it's going to be also tiring.
They've got Real Sociedad, chat. You talk about the early rounds, it's a proper test early on.
Yeah, but again, I'd be surprised if Solskjaer doesn't make changes.
Okay, alright, so not going to bang on about it. Stevie, did you happen to play against any team that plays like Leeds United do now in your playing days? If yes, what tactics did your manager use for the games against them?
No, not at all.
They're quite unique, aren't they?
Not even close. Yeah, they're completely unique. Yeah, they just attack, and the second thought is, well, maybe if we lose it, we might have to defend, but let's just go and score. So, no, nobody remotely close.
Frank, respectfully, did you play against anyone like Leeds?
No, I didn't respectfully play against a team like that. You know, I think it's teams under Bielsa are very unique. I saw Marseille doing like that. I saw the right back, you know, attacking and finishing defending at the left wing. And I said, what the hell is going on there? You know, and after 4 months, all the other teams understood the way they played and they made them run a little bit everywhere to find, you know, spaces in the middle of it. And it's what's going on right now with Leeds. And on top of it, the players are getting very tired, and not surprised that they can be smashed 6-2 like today.
Does Scott McTominay have it in him to become a regular goal-scoring midfielder, Stevie?
Well, if you play against Leeds every week, then yes, but no. No, his priority and his main job is to be nice and tight and get the ball to the front three. The fact that it was Leeds meant that there was lots of space and he could get forward. And that's why you saw him as far forward today as you'll probably ever see him for the rest of the season.
You know, Dan, sometimes what I don't like is when I hear, you know, midfielder scoring a goal or defender scoring a goal, you know, or missing a goal. They say, yes, of course, he missed the goal. He's a defender or he's a midfielder. Today, McTominay showed his accuracy on scoring goals, two fantastic goals, where we saw Martial, normally the specialist, missing two easy goals. So you know, sometimes journalists should know what they're talking about. And McTominay proved them wrong. Respectfully.
Wow. Take that. Willian has played 799 minutes, Shaka.
Has he?
And he's had one shot on target. Discuss.
What is there to discuss about Willian? I'll be honest. When Arsenal signed him, I thought it was a good signing. And I couldn't be more wrong.
No.
I think he's been a huge disappointment on a number of levels. What he's contributing on the field in terms of what I thought he'd bring in terms of a winning mentality and experience. It's been an absolute bust.
Stevie, you've been quite critical for him for quite a long time, I feel.
Well, he's at an age, he's what, 33? He's at an age where you start becoming a little inconsistent just because of the physicality side of it, as much as anything else. And I thought it was a mistake. If they were going to... Listen, the money they spent on his wages would have been better off going elsewhere, because they've got a lot of young players that have been already, and some of them, like Sir Martinelli, who's just going to get fit, will probably end up producing more than Willian anyway. So, I mean, it looked okay because you're bringing an experienced guy into a lot of young players, but listen, the fact that he's been a complete bust, now they're probably thinking, wow, we should have strengthened somewhere else and given the kids even more time than they're getting just now.
And for all that, we are 6 months
you
in.
You know, Dan.
If so much.
Shaka's talking. Be respectful.
Sorry, Fran. I'm just saying. We're 6 months into.
I'm very sorry, Mr. Shaka Islop.
No disrespect taken, Frank. No disrespect taken. But just to quickly say, in terms of Willian, you're 6 months into a three-year contract.
Wow.
I mean, it makes it all the more ridiculous.
Not for him.
Well, yeah, if you're him or his agent, happy days.
Frank, you may speak.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. You know, I just wanted to add that that Chelsea seems to be very, very good at selling players who are completely toasted. You know, they did with Fabregas in Monaco, and since then, you know, we didn't hear about Fabregas anymore. And then Chelsea sold David Luiz last season during the season, and this season they sold Willian. They're very good at it. You know, they're very good at it, of getting rid of the player being toasted. And I understand some players, some teams, hiring those players who, like everybody else, like myself when I was playing at the end of my career, are completely toasted. And I don't know what Arsenal is doing right now.
Did Frank just say Chelsea were good to sell him when he was toasted?
I think so.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
This is good. What was the most impressive stadium that you've ever played in, Shaka, whether it be based on atmosphere or structure?
Ooh.
Go for both, if you like.
Played in Dortmund.
Oh, yeah. In front of the Yellow Wall?
Well, not in front of the Yellow Wall. It was a World Cup. So it was a Yellow Wall of sorts because it was
nice.
Sweden.
Yes.
So it was a Yellow Wall of sorts,
okay.
I guess.
You have to bring up the Sweden game every
yes,
chance.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I did. I also played at the Camp Nou for Newcastle against Barca, but we were both already out. It was in the Champions League, of course.
Right.
We were both already out, and there was 25,000, something like that. So as impressive a stadium as it was.
So structurally it was impressive.
But a quarter full, it didn't have the kind of atmosphere that, you know, you would think. You know, 25,000 gets lost in there.
Stevie, structurally, what was the most impressive stadium that you played in?
Structurally, I have to say, I was impressed with when Bayern used to play at the, what was the name of it? The main stadium where they built it for the World Cup. In Germany. What was the name of the stadium? Where did Bayern play before they moved?
Yeah, 74.
So, is it the Olympic Stadium? Was it the Olympic Stadium?
Let's go with that.
No, Olympic Stadium is Berlin.
I think we should just watch Steve suffer.
he's getting more red by the
minute. I'm trying to think of the name of it.
Well, we can always come back to you next week, Steve.
Stevie's thinking.
Write that question Paul back
stadium,
in.
Paul stadium?
The Olympia Stadium.
No. Can somebody write in and tell me?
Answers on a postcard, Steve Nicol.
Yes,
isn't it the Olympia Stadium, Steve?
That could be it, yeah, the Olympic Stadium. Translated Olympia Stadia as Olympic Stadium, Dan. There you go.
Well, didn't someone else say the Olympic Stadium? You told them no. So now I had to put a little German twist on it.
Oh, well, I was thinking. I never heard it.
We saw you.
That's my thinking face.
That's why we don't see it very often. Atmosphere-wise, Stevie.
You can't beat Anfield, seriously.
Yeah.
Come on. That's, Frank will tell you.
What about the Bernabeu when you went there, Stevie? That's quite an impressive stadium.
No atmosphere.
Aye, but not as impressive as the Olympic Stadium.
I don't know Stevie could be German.
Bring up Stevie coaching the MLS All-Stars.
Yeah. That was a long 90 minutes, I'll tell you.
Oh, dear. Frank?
In terms of structure, I have to say the Stade de France in 98 for the World Cup was absolutely fantastic. And
how'd you get on in that tournament,
Frank?
I can't remember. Pretty good.
It was okay. So, but yeah, you know, I did what I had to do. But in terms of history, Wembley, the old stadium, right, was absolutely fantastic because you felt the creation of football, you felt the history of football. And in terms of atmosphere, I think Shaka will be agreeing with me. The 52,000 people at St. James's Park at Newcastle with the shirt black and white, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. Crazy atmosphere.
That's very. I'm seeing a different side to Frank today, you know?
What sort of
side? The humanitarian side.
Oh, he's always
talking about the history of Wembley.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
right. Whoa, who's
Stevie, did you like playing at Wembley? You won enough trophies there.
Yeah, no, fantastic, but not as good as Anfield. Yeah, I mean, don't I must
have the Bayern Munich goal.
I would love. I'll tell you what. I've got another question.
Uh-oh.
Why, when they had the new Wembley, why would they not have done something with the pillars?
Mm.
I mean, you talk about a historical and famous monument with the two pillars at Wembley. And they just knock them down.
The two towers.
Some stupid cuff thing across the top. What a lot of nonsense.
Especially how much money they spent on it.
That it's was, iconic oh, is dear, what it mate. Was.
Like grumpy old men
they,
down the pub.
They were... There was a big debate about the keeping the two towers.
Yeah.
And they didn't. And I was absolutely appalled. Yeah, they should have because it's part of history. Build another stadium.
I agree.
Well, we all agree.
I'm with the grumpy old men.
We all agree.
I'm with the two grumpy old men, Frank and Steve.
Next, breakdancing is better than squash. Shaka, would you rather debate Stevie on whether Ramos is a world-class defender or give lessons to Don on percentages and probabilities?
Goodness me.
This is after Don said that Spurs were 50% likely to win the title and then quickly and he realised what he was saying.
I think I have more chance of success with Don.
Yeah.
But I've heard Stevie's arguments around Sergio Ramos. And
but the Don, no, I think Don said.
I'm just saying, it's hard to argue with Stevie. Give him...
Did Don not follow up with saying that Spurs will finish outside the top four, but then he gave them 25% chance of winning it? I'm sure he said that.
Hey, Stevie, did you see Sergio Ramos's tackle today? World class.
Or did he have to bring a stretcher on for the guy he tackled?
No, he was brilliant. Didn't get sent off or anything. Crucial in their victory against Eibar.
Wow.
Final, would Stevie like to defend himself against the allegations of not responding to texts or emails in time? Wow.
Hey, who said that?
I don't know who said that. It must have been on a previous show. Somebody yesterday on Extra Time.
Let me tell you,
and Julianne Laurent.
I do not live on my phone.
It wasn't me.
I mean, I've got Pete, the producer. I sat in this chair and Pete went, did you see Mourinho's quotes after the game? I was like, what? He went, I emailed you. I went, I don't sit and check my emails every 5 minutes of the day, you know. On my text.
You're a busy man, aren't you, Steve?
If you want to speak to me, call me. If you want to tell me something, call me. Don't email me. Yeah. Don't text me.
I don't live on my phone. Just call me.
I'm talking about anybody. Just call me. It's called a... See that? It's called a phone for a reason. It's made for talking to people.
Give him a call.
Yeah, it's easy.
If not, call him on the landline.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. There you are. Mm-hmm. Frank, do you want to say anything before we go?
And text.
Yes, I'm trying to call Stevie, but that's not answer.
Check his text.
Don't understand.
Check his text.
I can't believe that.
I'm busy. It's busy.
I know. We're all surprised that Stevie doesn't have a flip phone, to be fair. That is it. Thank you very much. We will be back tomorrow for more. What's happening tomorrow? Chelsea against West Ham.
Yeah, come on, you Amos.
Oh, there we are. It'll be exciting to see Shaka against Frank in the
5-1. Taught him everything he knows.
Battle of London. That is it. We will be back then tomorrow. Until then, goodbye.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at LectricEbikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LectricEbikes.com.